Let's go to the scriptures. Father, we do pray that you will give us an understanding of this passage of scripture, a familiar passage, Lord. But Lord, we thank you that there's a word in this for us. Open our minds and open our hearts. Holy Spirit, you're the one that takes the word of God and makes it real to us. So we pray this morning that you would touch our lives in a fresh way. In Jesus' name. As we come to this story, in Matthew chapter 20, it's a passage, it's one of my favorite passages, really, because it's such a, it's just a short story, but it's very poignant in what takes place. And there's some wonderful pictures here that are not just for a blind man sitting by the roadside, but for every one of us. And when we begin to see that, it can be life transforming. And maybe this morning your life can be completely transformed by looking at a blind man sitting by the roadside. Interestingly, the Bible actually names who one of these blind men were. There were actually two of them, but one of them is named in another passage of Scripture. And his name is Bartimaeus. So I call him Blind Bart. But he wasn't Blind Bart forever because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so when we read in Matthew 20:29, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him." They were in the city of Jericho. This was the last time that Jesus was going to pass through Jericho. It wasn't going to be another time. Matthew mentioned earlier in his testimony that he got a conviction that there was this window of opportunity for him to repent and trust in Jesus Christ. And friends, there is a window of opportunity for every person, but that window or door closes. It closes definitely on the day of our death. If we have not trusted Christ as our personal Savior, we can go to church, we can be a pretty good fellow, like Matthew said, but that will not get us into heaven. There has to come a time and a place in your life where you actually respond to Jesus Christ, where the transaction happens between you and Jesus. If that doesn't happen and you miss that window of opportunity, it won't matter how many sermons you've heard. The passage that Matthew mentioned earlier, I believe it was in Luke chapter 12, where the question the disciples asked, "Lord, are there many that be saved?" And Jesus said, "Strive to enter into that straight gate, because many will strive to get to enter in. They won't be able to. When the door is shut, they won't be able to." And further, it says in that passage, they're going to say, people will say to me, "Lord, we were in the streets with you. We ate in your streets. We heard you speak. Does that count for something?" No. It doesn't count for anything. You could go to church every day and you could hear the words of God and you could believe they're all true. But if you have not personally accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're lost for all eternity. Don't miss the real thing. It's not enough to be close to the gospel. It's not enough to be near to the truth. One has to respond to the truth. There has to be a step of response. And I want to encourage you today with all my heart, make the step of response if that has not yet happened in your life. Make sure, you know, there's a passage Paul writes, he says, be diligent in making sure of your call and your election. Make sure of it. Don't mess around with this because it's too important. This was the last time Jesus was going through Jericho. These two blind men, they had one opportunity. They weren't going to get another one. He wasn't coming this way again because he was going to the cross to be crucified. That's the direction he was heading in. And so it wasn't like, "Oh, well, if I don't ask Jesus today, I can ask him tomorrow." Wasn't the case. Because no man knows if they have tomorrow. All we have is the present moment. Seize that moment. Seize that day. That's what happened to these two men. A great multitude were following Jesus, and behold, Matthew 20:30, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And in the Gospel of Mark, as it speaks of it, it tells us the name of one of them. And maybe this Timaeus was a man that was fairly well known. I don't know. But it tells us in Mark 10:46 that when they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. That was his name. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He was by the road begging. Now when Mark tells his story, he doesn't include the other guy. Maybe because he knew who this guy was. Luke gives the name as well, that it was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. There must have been some connection. They must have known something about this family, because it seemed like he would have, there was an identification with this man. The other guy, he was there as well, but we find that out in Matthew. It's not that there's a contradiction, it's just that each witness tells a story in their own words. And that even validates the authenticity of the witness of the whole of the New Testament. And so they were sitting by the road and they were begging. Now, why were they begging? Pardon me?
They can't work.
Pardon me?
They can't work.
They couldn't work. It's the only work they could do. They could not see. There was no welfare. There was no, you know, go down to see the government and see if they'll give you anything. The government, there was no government to give them anything to. The government took, they didn't give. I think that probably hasn't changed that much in some ways. But here's what was happening. They were sitting by the roadside. They had no place else to go. They were dependent, and Jericho was the second largest city in that area. So they were saying, you know, we got a pretty good spot here. We can, you know, the traffic is coming through from Jericho to Jerusalem. If you remember, Jericho had a long history. Remember, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down way back when. Now, today, Jericho, I'm not sure right now, but I was reading a commentary from early 1900s, and it was only a small little few mud huts there that was left of the place. The city is gone. But at that time, it was a bustling and hustling city, and there was a great multitude of people. And from Jericho to Jerusalem, they were on the march. Jesus was on his way, and these two blind men were by the roadside, and they had probably gone there every single day, day after day, month after month, year after year, eking out a living, getting whatever they could from those who would give them something. They were at a, shall we say, on a dead-end road, right? Was there any hope, really, of their lot improving?
No.
Not really. As far as they were concerned, this was their life, and it was going to stay that way. There was no exit point. There was no escaping to a higher level. This was the end of the road. They had been doing it for years. They had been scraping by, sitting by there, hoping that somebody would put something in their cups. As they got by, they would be crying out. They would be crying out. Pennies for a poor blind man. Whatever it is, they would say, just to get enough to get food for the day. That was their life. That was their existence. But this day, they heard news. Matter of fact, I think it's in the Gospel of Luke, Bartimaeus himself hears a commotion coming, bigger crowd than normal, and he asks, what's happening? Who's coming? And it says, when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, they began to cry out. And in Mark 10:47, they cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Suddenly, in the midst of the darkness and the gloom of their lives, suddenly, a ray of hope burst. Just a ray. Suddenly, when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, why? Why would that give them a ray of hope and a ray of light?
Messiah.
Okay, because he was the Messiah. Why else?
He had come to open the eyes of the blind.
Okay, and had he been doing it already? Yes, he had been healing the sick. He had been doing this. Now remember, the bulk of Jesus' ministry and miracles did not happen so much down around Jerusalem area, but many of them happened up in the Galilee area, as he was up in that area. So now he's here. He's in Jericho. He's passing through. This is our opportunity. So they began to cry out. They weren't crying now for a few pennies. They were expecting and hoping something far greater, something that would revolutionize and completely change their entire existence, with a ray of hope that Jesus could give them their sight. There's a big difference between those two, wasn't there? Where they were sitting there and what the potential and the possibility was. Well, I want you to know something. All of us, in one sense, are blinded by sin. We're poor, we're wretched, we're naked, just as we sung in that song. All of us. Now, some people might think, well, you know, I've been pretty good. Like Matthew said, well, I grew up a pretty good kid. You know, I kind of, you know, I knew about God and I thought God was cool and whatever. But it doesn't matter. There's a huge difference between being saved and not being saved. And I want to challenge you with this question today. And I want you to answer it honestly in your own heart. Can you say today that you are saved? That you know that you're going to heaven? If you cannot say that, you're on the wrong side of things. You're on the lost side of things. You're like that blind beggar by the roadside. It doesn't matter how good you've been or what you think you've done. You're still lost in your sins. And if you miss heaven, it will be your fault, not God's. Here's the blind man by the roadside, sitting there, begging day after day. They were destitute. And without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're just as destitute today. But they began to cry out. And oh, friends, let me tell you, that's a good place to start. It's a good place to begin. You need some awareness of who God is. You need some awareness of who He is, that He's a Savior and that He can save. Maybe you're not sure whether He'd save you, but at least you can start crying out to Him. You can begin to cry out to a God who has mercy, because that's what they cried out. They began crying out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That was their cry. They were looking for hope. They were looking for an answer, but they were looking in the right direction. And so they began to cry. Cry out to Jesus, friend. Cry out to Him. If you're not saved, cry out to Him. If you're in a dark hole, cry out to Him. Whatever the circumstances, cry out to Jesus. He is the one ray of hope, I can tell you, in His dark world. So they did. They cried out. And the response was from the multitude, Matthew 20:31, the multitude warned them they should be quiet. Now, why would they do that? Here's the crowds. They're following Jesus. They think Jesus is awesome. Here's a couple of beggars on the roadside, and they're crying. They begin to shout as loud as they could, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they just kept crying it. Now, why did the multitude tell them, shut up? That's what they said, right? Hold your peace. Why would they say that? Give me some ideas. Okay. Very good, Florence. They would have considered these blind men to be inferior. It was part of their belief at that time that if somebody was sick or blind, it was because they had committed some terrible sin. And if somebody was perfectly healthy, it's because they were so much better. And so they would have considered these blind men as inferior. Not worth Jesus' time or energy. Yes.
You're not worth nothing.
That's right. That's exactly what they would be saying. Shut up. Jesus is not interested in you. So here were they were supposedly following Jesus, but despising these two men. You know, the hypocrisy of this crowd is kind of interesting, because if you look at every passage. Let's see if it's in Mark's gospel. Yes, it is here. So when you look at the crowd here and their attitude to the attitude they had towards the blind men, we're going to discover, first of all, they warned them to be quiet. They said, we don't want to hear from you. You guys be quiet. Jesus is not interested in you. We're the followers of Jesus. We follow Jesus. Oh, what vanity, what foolishness they had. Because what did these guys do? What did these blind men do when they were given that kind of a response? The crowd told them to shut their mouth.
They just yelled loud.
That's what it says, isn't it? Matthew 20:31, they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. They weren't going to stop. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew that He was the deliverer. They knew that He was the blind man healer. And they knew there was nobody else that could do it. And they weren't going to shut up for anybody. Now, let me tell you something. The crowd still will push. The crowd will still say, what are you doing? How come you're following? What are you doing talking about Jesus for? We don't want to talk about God. God should not be talked about except in church. And they will warn you. They will warn you. Don't go down that road. Don't go with those people. They're crazy. That's what will happen. I can remember when I was just before I was converted. And I was under deep conviction from God. And I went to one of my coworkers, and he was a he didn't live a very good life at all. But I liked the guy, worked with him and everything. And I said, look, Grant, this is where I'm at. I said, what should I do? I went to get advice from him. Oh, Pierre, he said, get away from that as quick as you can. Don't have anything to do with that. The Bible is, stay away from it all. He got right animated. More animated than I think I'd ever seen him. The crowd will always be saying, turn away from God. But listen, if you ever read Pilgrim's Progress, and it's a story, it's an allegory of a guy named Christian who lived in the city of destruction, and he gets a call to go to the heavenly city, and the call comes from God. And all his family think he's gone crazy because he wants to leave the city of destruction and he wants to get to the heavenly city. And they're after him, and they get doctors to try and cure him of this terrible affliction that he has of wanting to leave the city of destruction. And so in the end of it, he puts his fingers in his ears and he runs towards the narrow gate. He puts his fingers in his ears. He doesn't matter who's talking to him anymore. His eyes are on the prize. He wants to be saved more than anything else. And that's the picture that we see here of these two blind men. They were not going to be quiet. Their only hope was Jesus Christ. And when we understand our only hope is Jesus Christ, we're not going to be quiet. We're not going to stop. We're going to seek the Lord because he's our only hope. There's nowhere else to go. Nowhere but Jesus Christ. If you want to be in heaven, you got to come to Jesus. And so they kept on crying all the more. They got louder, not quieter. But when you go to the Gospel of Mark, and we find, here's the response of the crowd, because suddenly Jesus stands still. Mark 10:49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Jesus stood still. Isn't that wonderful? He stopped. He stopped for these two blind men, these two insignificant, unworthy, ragged beggars by the roadside. Jesus stopped. When he stopped, the crowd stops. And look what they say. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. 1 minute they're telling him to shut up. The next minute they're saying, oh yeah, come on, the master's calling you. It's like they're jumping on board. It's like they're fickle. The crowd is fickle, friends. You know we all say don't follow the crowd, don't listen to peer pressure, because the crowd is fickle. They'll be this way 1 minute, they'll be that way the next minute. When Jesus landed in Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, they began to praise him. A week later, what were they saying? Crucify him, crucify him. Listen, don't follow the crowd. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what people think. What matters is where you are with God. That's what matters. And this is what happens here. They say, be good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And now in Mark 10, I want you to notice something that happens to Bartimaeus. It says, he throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now this is not insignificant. Because that garment was his outer cloak. That was his blankie. That's what he slept with. He wore it. He slept in it. It was all he had. It was his most treasured possession because it kept him warm at night. And it kept him from the cold, sharp winds or whatever it was. It was his protector. It was his blanket. But what does he do with his beggar's cloak now? He throws it away. Why does he throw it away? Why? He doesn't need it anymore. He doesn't need it anymore. Even before he was healed, he threw it away. Why? Because he knew that if Jesus was stopping for him, he wasn't going to miss out. If Jesus stopped and called for him, it was going to be okay. He fires away his beggar's cloak. That is a step of faith. Not just calling out to the Lord, but actually being willing to say, my old life's gone. Here she goes. It's over. It's over. I am no longer blind Bart by the roadside. I'm Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and I'm going to rise up and I have a whole new life now because I'm going to see the King. I'm going to see Jesus. Praise God. Praise God, friends. Oh, come. Come, cry out to Jesus. Don't stop crying out. You know, the Bible says, this: ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Don't be casual. Don't be flippant about following God. Pursue Him with your whole heart, with your whole soul. Don't hold back. These men would not hold back because they knew that this was the right direction. And in reality, friends, if you've been saved for 30 years, still don't hold back. Follow Jesus fervently. The crowd will still be naysaying you. The crowd will still be drawing you away. The temptations of the world will still be all around you. But stay focused on Jesus Christ, because that's where all the blessings are. And they're eternal. Am I right? Amen. It's the truth, because it's the truth we find out in God. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. There's a persistence here that we see with these men, that they would not stop. In Mark 10:51, Jesus answered and said to him, this is when they come there, "What do you want for me to do?" Now that must have been very obvious. You think Jesus didn't know they were blind? Of course he did. Why did he ask them that question?
He wanted to hear their faith, actually.
He wanted to hear their request. He wants to hear your request. You know, God knows everything you're thinking before you ask him, right? He says in the Bible, you wouldn't have to pray at all, because he already knows what you need, right? But he wants you to talk to him. Don't miss the opportunity. Rabboni, it means a master or teacher. God wants you to be in conversation with him. Don't take that for granted.
He doesn't want us to be complacent either.
No, absolutely not. He wants our hearts to be stirred. He wants us to walk in a relationship with him. He wants us to commune with him. He wants us to be, in reality, a relationship, a real relationship. And the blind man said to him in Mark 10:51, "Rabboni, Master, that I may receive my sight." And we see this similar in the Gospel of Matthew. "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And so Jesus had compassion, Matthew 20:34, and he touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Just like that, everything changed. In Mark's gospel, it says, Jesus said to them, "Go your way, your faith has made you whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So in Matthew's gospel, we see that he actually reached out and he touched their eyes. One touch from Jesus goes a long way. And also, he spoke to them. He says, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Their cry was a cry of faith. They looked to Jesus. Even though they were blind, they could see that Jesus was the way. Jesus was their hope. We're blind in sin before we're saved, but God wants to make us see. He wants to make us see heaven. He wants to make us see our sin. That's something we don't want to see. We like to see other people's sins, but not our own quite so much. He wants to make us see his love, his care, his power. He wants to make us see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He wants to make us come and receive our sight so we could say with John Newton in those great old hymn, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." Oh, to have spiritual eyesight. Oh, to be set free, to see Jesus as he really is. And the last part of this little passage of scripture, Jesus said, "Go your way. You've got your sight." But what did they do next? Did they go back down the road somewhere? What did they do? They followed Jesus. They followed him. And what a beautiful picture that is what we are to do. We are touched by Jesus Christ when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. When he comes and he opens our eyes and he causes us to see the salvation that we have, we follow Jesus Christ and we keep on following him. And that's a beautiful picture of what God calls us. Friends, this is the gospel. The gospel is that we are poor and wretched and blind and naked. The gospel is that our sins will drag us into the flames of hell. The gospel is that we are totally, utterly lost, and nothing we could ever do of ourselves could save us, but that Jesus is willing to save us. The gospel is that God has become a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and that he walked this earth and he went to the cross and he died for our sins and he rose again. And now he is still in the world by the power of the Holy Spirit, calling people like us to himself. He's passing by today, but I cannot promise you tomorrow. And the gospel is while he's passing by, call out to him. Ask him, have mercy on me. Save me, Lord. I want to be saved. I want to have my sins forgiven. I want to know that I have a home in heaven. I want my eyes opened, Lord. I want to throw off the beggar's cloak of sin, and I want to walk in the freedom and the liberty of the sons of God. And Jesus Christ will stand still for you, just like he did that day, and he will save completely to the uttermost. According to the Bible, he saves to the uttermost those who come to God by Jesus Christ. It's a good gospel. And the answer of it is that if you believe, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. See, these guys got their eyes restored. But eventually, you know what happened to those eyes? They rotted out of their sockets. That's what happened. Am I right? That's right. That was a temporal blessing. But the spiritual blessing, oh, to have your spiritual eyes opened, is to carry your soul into the very presence of God for all eternity. So as Matthew said earlier, death has no sting. The grave has no victory. Matthew was right. He had a window of opportunity. And he came under a deep conviction. And he cried out. And God responded. What a beautiful picture of this very passage of Scripture. May you make sure of your salvation. And listen, if you are not sure, come and talk to me. After the service, I will sit with you and I'll take you through the Scriptures and show you how you can be absolutely certain today of your eternal destiny. Don't miss it. Don't let Jesus pass you by. Today's the day. Now is always the time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for its power. We thank you for the Savior of the world who is willing to come into this world. And in a sense, Lord, those beggars couldn't go and find Jesus somewhere. You came to them, really. And Lord, thank you that you come to us. And we ask, Lord, that we could be vehicles used by you to bring the blessing of the gospel to the people all around us, Lord, that they might have opportunity to hear how to be saved, and they might come and trust in Jesus. Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, work in every heart this morning. If someone is not sure of their salvation, may they seal it today for eternity, because you're willing to save anyone who comes to you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.